Welcome to New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care's podcast. This free podcast is made possible through your generosity. Please consider making a donation through our Ways to Give link on zencare.org.
So, good morning.
It's very hot. Where some people decided to come here and others decided to go and do a triathlon. Swimming in the Hudson River this morning, biking, and running around Central Park. And here we are, in the air conditioning, sitting quietly and walking together. Which may seem just quiet. But if your minds are like mine, they might be have quite stirred by things in your life. So outwardly might look quiet. Inwardly not so quiet. As we're in the middle of this campaign time, which is really what's on my mind, and I try my best to watch all the different expressions and watching my mind and how it works. Noticing preferences, noticing difference. And what do I do with that? And it's amazing because these two sides are very busy in talking about each other's errors and faults. So I wanted to talk about the precept that we have about not talking about others' errors and faults, which feels incredibly radical in this time. The general statement that we have about this precept from the Zen peacemakers is, do not talk about others as errors and faults. And we do this through unconditionally accepting what each moment has to offer. This is the precept of not talking about others' errors and faults. It's so radical to unconditionally not talk about others' errors and faults. So it really speaks to that conditioned response that we have about talking about others. How it's a conditioned response. And where does that come from? Chodo and I were watching a show called
Stranger Things.
Yeah. And it's about these, you know, young kids and a kind of adventure. And how, as even very young kids, they had to deal with bullying, indifference. And we're so quickly, so young, we're taught to squash what we don't like. But I think so, what's so important is that we're taught to do that. I remember for myself, when I was young, in middle school, I was probably the smallest boy in my grade.
which, as you can imagine, was not a party. And the school bully was at my bus stop every morning. He lived down the street from me, like the worst one. And every morning I would get thrown into the grass, or pretty much every day. And during that time, actually, I was, you know, quite actually active in studying karate. So I learned how to fall and how much I wanted to retaliate. And for years, I would get thrown down every day. It was such a hard teaching, because my teacher was really interested in not using this technique and way of study to incite violence. It was defensive. But one day, I just couldn't take it anymore. Because he actually smacked me in the face. And called me a fag. And I decided I couldn't take it anymore. And I knew what to do. And really hurt him pretty quickly, pretty skillfully. And I felt so ashamed afterwards. And the next day in school, I was rewarded. Because word travels fast, and the other kids at the bus stop are like, whoa. See what Paley Ellison did. And I saw how quickly that made me feel good and powerful. And how awful, too. So it's like how we're taught to, the reward is to squash the other. To rise up and squash the ruling power. It's so painful. There's a poem that I love from the 3rd century by Chang Yang Hao, and it's called Recalling the Past at Tung. As if gathered together, the peaks of the ranges, as if raging the waves on these banks, winding along these mountains and rivers, the road of Tung Pass. I look west, and hesitant, I lament. Here, where opposing armies pass through, palaces of countless rulers, now but dust. Empires rise, people suffer. Empires fall, and people suffer. Which is the right one? Which is the right empire? Who's the right ruler? No matter who, someone will suffer. Because we know from this practice that there's just a lot of suffering. So for me, the vow is to observe this precept. And with kindness and for the duration of the life, unconditionally accepting what each moment has to offer. To acknowledge the responsibility for everything. This morning in the kitchen, Chodo and I were talking about the little Trump or little Hillary in all of us. Where is that place in you that really feels that you're right? That you're sure that the other side is wrong? I think about Ron the bully. Much later, after high school, I learned that, you know, his father had left his mother. And she was struggling to keep their house. We lived in kind of a middle-class suburb. And she lost the house. Went into foreclosure when we were in middle school, when he became the bully that he was. To thinking about the suffering underneath the actions of our own capacity for violence. Didn't make what he did right or acceptable. And yet there is a place that he and I connected. And imagine if we were actually able to have a real conversation. At my 15-year high school reunion, I did have a conversation with Ron, who was working in a gas station down the hill from our old house. Literally. Things were hard for him. And I felt great compassion for this person who had endured incredible harm to me. And I broke his nose. Who's at fault? Who's wrong? Bodhidharma says, in the faultless Dharma, not speaking about others' faults is called the precept of refraining from speaking about others' shortcomings. So how do we take action in our life? And the world needs our action and activity and responsiveness without blaming. What would that look like? How would your words change? How would your actions change if you didn't point at the problem outside? Here at our center, we talk about in the ground of being, there is nothing that can be called a mistake. The causes and conditions that led us to this moment in time is not a mistake. Everything is perfection. Fully manifesting just as it is. How do you swallow that? Not easy. But to me, that's part of the practice about why we sit. Learning to keep coming back to this moment. Learning to know our unconditioned mind. There is no blame, as there is no separation between self and other. There is only blame when we separate self and other. Your fault. So one of the ways that we look at this is really in the relational view, this precept. And the way that we work with it is to examine situations in which it is appropriate to point out or speak up when something seems wrong in a given situation. But how do you speak? The how is the most important. And how do we personally and organizationally and communally address the harmful actions of ourselves and others? How do we really atone and realize, like, yes, me too? So one of the ways that we work with this is this practice slogans we have is, don't hesitate to apologize. And then another one, which is probably the most challenging in this life, is to accept others unconditionally. Not just the others you wish to, but all of them. To me, this is like the most amazing time to practice this. Incredible. And that even means in our thoughts. Thoughts, words, and actions. So I just invite you to join me in this practice of really checking, wow, how we're thinking. To me, that's the beauty of Zazen, just like coming back again and again and again and again and again and being as foolish as we actually are. And another one of our practice slogans is accept responsibility for everyone. Not just some. And not just your favorites. Or your preferred. And one more is that examine your motivations for when you talk about others. What are you trying to do? What do you want? And what are you feeling underneath it? Helpless? Scared? That sounds about right. To really learning how to dissolve some of our conditioning, or maybe even all of it. That's the big project. Learning how to get out of the way.
so that we can really participate in a truly kind of activist way. To me, this does not speak about inaction, but a way of action with deep compassion, leaving no one out. I'll leave you with a poem by Li Po, one of my favorite poets of all time. It's called The Birds Have Vanished, and translated by Sam Hamill. The birds have vanished into the sky, and now the last cloud drains away. We sit together, the mountain and me, until only the mountain remains. Thank you.